All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, July 21st of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have we had 18 matches of tennis get underway earlier this morning. Good luck to all of you playing some tennis. For the rest of the day, it'll be filled up by MLB action. We have a 10-game MLB main slate. We did also have a League of Legends slate earlier this morning as well, so good luck to all of you who played that. But for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right. With that said, we did have a couple questions come in over the weekend here. So a couple things to get us started. I'm going to get SaberSim pulled up and we will jump right in. So first question that came in over the weekend, haven't done MMA in a while. Did they remove the auto rule of no two opposing fighters in the same lineup? If yes, how do I set that rule back? So that rule is still present. So I know we didn't have office hours on Saturday, but did want to still mention this. If we go back to the Saturday card, 19th. All right. And then we go to a build. Okay, so we're in here. For me, it's on automatically. It's possible that it wasn't on automatically for you. But in this rule section, if this is off, right, it'll probably just look like this. If you go to rules and then you expand the group rule, it will show up as a default. I know it's a little interesting because like the groups doesn't say like there's one here. The default rules work a little bit different than like if you had a rule or something like that, then now it'll show, right? So maybe we could improve that there. But either way, expand the groups, turn on don't use opposing fighters. When you have the number up here in the rules section, that indicates that the rule is active, and that's how you do that. So quick one there, but wanted to cover it. I'm actually going to make a note for myself. Default rules. Of count. All right, cool. All right, next question. Why would we not rebuild after making adjustments post-build, even if we don't get the unable to meet type messages? Wouldn't the rebuild after making adjustments give you more lineups with the adjustments that may be a larger slash better pool overall? Okay, good question here. So you make a good point that, you know, yes, you will rebuild and then get like all of the things that you want. There's pros and cons to this. And we'll talk about them. You know, what might be the right answer for like one user might not be the right answer for a different user. And like, that's okay. So if you are somebody who wants to set minimax exposures and then you prefer to rebuild, I would say like the actual right answer is like just set it before running your initial build, right? Because then you're spending less time, like you're running an extra build effectively, right? If you're like, hey, I know I want these exposures, but I'm going to run a build and then set them in rerun, you might as well just set them the first time, right? To like cut out however much time gets wasted in like that first build section. If you like to run the first build, just kind of see what things are going and then set your exposures, then that's like totally up to you. That's okay. The idea here is like, the other part of this, right, is you ran the build and let SaberSim, like you didn't put any restrictions on it. You just kind of let it give you the raw sim outputs, right? So the other thing was like, okay, you didn't impact the results of the build at all. So you know that the lineups you're getting are more based around the raw sim outputs. That's one reason for like not rerunning, right? Not to say rerunning is bad, but that is something there, right? When you set exposures or rules, you are impacting what the sim wants to return to you because it's prioritizing your adjustments first, like in the lineup. The rules go in like right away. So that's another reason there to do it. But you could, right? If it were me personally, if I can get to my exposures that I want without rerunning the build and without playing negative ROI lineups, I am totally cool with that. And part of it for me is like I don't want to spend the additional time to like run more builds if I don't need to. Like for me, the less builds I need to run, the better. And that might not be the case like for somebody else, right? But that might be the case for some people. So you got to figure it out. Is like the time savings worth it for you? Are you like, okay, yeah, I got my exposures, great. Or you're like, hey, I want to input these exposures and then rerun. Again, totally okay. For some of this stuff, not going to be one right answer, and it's going to be very user specific. All right. Next question. How much does payout structure matter when determining a contest sim's ROI? It seems like the difference in contest size and payout structure would be less about long-term ROI and more about the frequency of wins and losses. But looking at the 150 max entries, the mini max generally has a lower sim ROI than the bat flip. Any idea why that is? Thanks. Okay. So I do want to say one thing around this, cause I've seen this. This is a little bit different, but one place where payout structure is very, very important is in high duplication sports. And I've seen like positive sim ROIers kind of come from like two sides of the coin there, right? Where some people are playing a little bit higher duplicated lineups that are still positive sim ROI. And then some people are playing lower duplicated lineups that are positive sim ROI as well. What often is the difference between those two is like their sim average scores and their win rates. The lower dupe lineup, basically they're taking an approach of like, hey, I just need to win this contest, you know, once a season. And if I win, then that'll pay for like all the other losses, all the other weeks. People who are playing higher duplicated lineups, you know, when they win, they're getting less of the first place prize. They might need to win like twice in a season to be profitable. So that's like one place I've seen where like maybe not payout structure per se, but like how much of the first place, how much of the prize pool you get kind of. So that's like an adjacent. But the reason, in my opinion, the minimax grades out lower is generally due to the number of unique users needed to max the contest. Okay. So for instance, and we can just go back to yesterday. Yesterday should be a fine example. So let's go back to yesterday's MLB slate. Okay. And then we go to the minimax. So let's sort. Okay, so minimax here, right? $1 minimax, 70K entries, okay? So if we just go and look at like maxers here, after this loads. There are very, very few positive sim ROIers in this contest. Now, to me, right, part of the problem here is that if you have 835 divided by 150, it takes approximately 119 people to max this contest. Now, I think that even though this is a low stakes contest, there are still plenty of good players who have access to this contest in their lobby. And the less unique users it takes to max it, because you're trying to beat the rake as well, right? Like, in order to profit, you, one, need to beat the rake, which is higher at the low stakes. It's like 15%. And then anything above that is where you start to see a profit. So like some of these, you know, lineups that we're seeing here, right, in this range, these are probably all good lineups, but they're not winning enough to beat the 15%. Their lineups are losing to the rake over time, right? So that was like 119 people to max. Okay, we go look at the four-seamer, where this one actually has less entries, right? 7431. But you can only enter 20 lineups into it. So this takes over three times as many maxers to fill it, right? 371. So that's a little over three times as many. And then we look at highest sim ROIs. And then now they get into the double digits, right? So in my opinion, this is the leading driver and difference between some contests that are negative sim ROI and then some contests, or the difference in like available sim ROI based on the contest, right? Like highest achievable sim ROIs is kind of, I think, the best way to explain it. Jerry said, much appreciated. A few members were able to help me out with the group rule over the weekend. Awesome. Yeah. Shout out Jay for helping out our man Jerry here. Appreciate it. All right. Demetrius said, can you do an MLB Sims build? Yeah, we can absolutely do a demo for MLB here. We will do that soon. Relic said, if I have multiple contests in a contest group, is it aggregating the contest sim metrics of all the contests within the group, or is it evaluating a lineup based on its own contest sim metrics? Okay, good question. So let's go back to today. And then this will lead us into our MLB demo. So if I go to a build, and then I go to my lineups, and let's say I just add a lineup group. Now, if I have, you know, two lineup groups with one contest in each, that is like the old autofill was, where each group is using that specific contest's ROI when grading it. When I put two contests within one group, that is now direct fill, where it would average the ROIs across the lineups. So what it's doing is it's combining the ROIs, finding the mean of the ROIs for a single lineup across two different contests, and then ranking it by that, right? So if I had, you know, one lineup here and two contests, and one contest sim ROI was 100%, one was 200%, it would be ranking the lineup as if its sim ROI was 150%. So it's always going to use an average when you start to add multiple contests to an individual group. All right. Follow up. So if I have five contests in a group and turn off the contest sims of four of the five, all five contests will then be evaluated using the contest sim metrics of that singular group. So basically, your answer is yes. You're effectively making the ROIs of those additional contests zero. So yes, it does end up having the impact that you want it to, of only using one particular sim. Okay, good stuff there. Let's roll into this MLB demo. And it looks like we're caught up in office hours still. Cool. All right. So building lineups for MLB here. Like I say, cool things, trying to avoid having to run tons and tons of contest sims. I could totally understand where you're coming from. Demetrius said, I keep getting duplicate lineups. So the best way to avoid duplicate lineups is in the lineup section, go to settings, turn on this avoid duplicates across lineup groups. As long as this is toggled on, you shouldn't get duplicates. If this is toggled on and you are still getting duplicates, then what I would do is go to the top right corner menu, go to report a problem, just write it, you know, wait till it happens and then send us a report and just say, hey, you know, I'm getting duplicate lineups still and my toggle is on or something like that. From there, our team can investigate and see what the problem actually is. So this is the best way to report potential like bugs or errors that you know for sure, like, hey, I'm doing this right. Or even if you don't, sending it in and like, hey, I think I did this right, but I'm not 100% sure. Our team can take it from there. All right, so we're going to build some lineups here. I'm going to build, say, 5,000 lineups, make a couple adjustments to projections, turn on a don't use back. Is turned on specifically. So it's not like how many rules are present, but like how many rules are active. I think that's the difference from what I was talking about earlier. All right. But aside from that, no other filters. Min salary is already up to 49K, 10 game slate. So seems good. So I am, and we'll just do one group. We don't need to. Ready to build some lineups. All right. So let these lineups run. Got Cardinals and Coors tonight. Coors slates are always interesting. And our build is almost done here. Lineups are loading into the pool. Check. Contest sim is running. Check. We'll stick with building 15 lineups here. I think 50 is a fine number. All right, our sim is finishing up. Cool, I'm going to switch diversity from uniques to portfolio. And then I like to see my lineups in expanded view. All right. One other thing I might do now that this is run is just turn on an ROI greater than zero filter here. Save. Cool. So this will re-diversify. Shouldn't really change anything, but it is a good thing to have on for once we start making some changes. So from our pool of 5,000, we are working with still over 4,000 lineups. So that's good. Not too many lineups in the trash there. And then I scroll over, got some aggregate metrics, projection, ROI seem good here. I'm going to expand this group out now. And now I'm about ready to start making some adjustments here. So I like to start from like a zoomed out approach, right? Just making sure that like we're getting correlation in our lineups, getting nice stacks. Looks like we are, right? Top three stack types are all five stacks ranked by exposure. Team stacks, getting Cardinals and Coors, getting Colorado, probably some game stacks there, and then getting some other teams complementing along the way. If we sort by projected runs, getting to plenty of the top projected run teams here. Not too many of the lowers, right? Taking a little, some shots on Minnesota here. Some Texas, like middle of the pack, but overall getting to like, seems like well-projected teams. So that's very good. We checked five stacks. Yeah, a ton of five stacks of St. Louis. Pretty spread out at the 2, 3, 4 stacks. It's just that one big St. Louis five stack standing out. All right. So pretty happy with stacks as far as like types. Pretty happy with our teams that we're getting and just like making sure we're getting to well-projected run teams. That seems good. Now moving on to pitchers. Some leverage on Baz, not like a ton here, but some, right? Second highest projected. Our top two exposures really are the two highest projected pitchers. We're getting to some value pitchers, right? Some leverage on like Lopez, some leverage on Gallen, kind of even on leader here. So we're getting value. We're getting projection in the pitcher spot, which is what we want just because they're a little bit more consistent than batters. So pitcher exposures look good. Go over to my batters. Okay, we're seeing a lot of the Cardinals. We kind of expected that. Now, one thing I might do here just because, you know, Cardinals are like far and away a higher stack than everyone else, especially when you go to the five stacks, just check their lineup exposure a little bit closer, right? Like, hey, I want to make sure I agree with our spread here. So I go in and it actually looks pretty good, right? I'm pretty happy with this. 20 to 30% of 1 through 5, 18% 6, 14% 7, 14% 9, 6% 8 hitter kind of. This is like our one like negative leverage, right? Maybe a little bit on Jordan Walker, like 0.5%, but we are like, we do have way less lineups to like Pedro Páez than we do to any other batter in this lineup. If you wanted to like close this gap a little bit, I wouldn't say that's like a bad thing. Like, hey, you know, I have double digit exposure to every other batter. I want to put 10% to like Páez as well. And then I put in the 10, click apply, rediversifies. And then let's see what happens. And then, yeah, now we're more even, right? I think we took one Herrera lineup to get some more Páez. Like, I don't know if you want to make that trade-off right, but now this is a lot. The spread here, right, looks a lot more even across the entire lineup. So that's something you can consider doing. We did only lose like 3% ROI to make that one adjustment. It's like, that seems okay. So yeah, that's like one, I think, good, just like quality thing to do, especially if you have like one stack standing out way more than all the others, right? Like, St. Louis is twice as exposed as any other team here. So it could be good to like pay a little bit of extra attention to them. All right. So we looked at correlation. We looked at stacks. We looked at five stacks. We looked at pitchers. We looked at batters. We looked at our highest exposed team. We made one adjustment. We didn't lose that much in terms of aggregate metrics for that change. You know, I'm happy with these lineups. I would be ready to save them and upload them to my contest at this point. But yeah, that's how I'm handling lineup groups, fine-tune adjustments with exposures and trying to trust the diversifier. All right. I think we are all set here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.